So welcome to the Beckett Hanlon Can You See It podcast. And today we've got a very successful man, not from Northern Ireland, but from New York, called Andrew Barakas. And he owns a fantastic company called MNS Real Estate. And I think also he is a developer, but we'll talk more about that later in the podcast. So Andrew, thanks for coming on board and doing a podcast for me. I really appreciate it. I can feel it, there's something in the water. Anything is possible. Where did we first meet and what did you think of me?
It was instant love. So I would say we met in, it was probably 06, 07.
Yeah.
We originally spoke. I remember I was on 23rd Street in the Flatiron area.
Yep.
And we discussed, you know, potentially, you know, you were looking to purchase an investment property in New York, and we ended up finding a deal, and you ended up introducing me to a couple of your friends and people that you knew that were also interested in purchasing. So I believe there was a gentleman named Mr. McElroy.
That's correct. Frank McElroy.
If I remember correctly, Frank.
Yeah, Frank. That's it.
That's when our relationship really formed. And I think a big part of it for me that really attracted me to you is that you really kind of treated me like a son. And you know, for me, I have a very close relationship with my family and my father specifically.
Yeah.
But he's not in real estate. So I think having somebody like you as a mentor and somebody who was able to guide me and give me advice early in my career, work ethic, kind of just looking at bigger picture things, was definitely, it was great to have you and have you as a phone call away, as a lifeline. Okay. In a lot of instances, and I learned a tremendous amount from you.
Okay, well, I really appreciate that that introduction for me. I'm not sure if I deserve it all, but thank you, because you are a very successful businessman. And a question I'd love to ask you is, how did you get involved in real estate in New York? Because you said your father wasn't in it, so how did you start your journey?
So my journey was started, my family was in the garment center. They manufactured accessories for women's clothing, and that's kind of what I was bred to do. I went to college and studied international business, and that was something that, you know, I had a lot of passion for and always was kind of groomed to work with my father. And something that we always spoke about was, for my first year out of college, that I would go work somewhere for 1 year and prove to myself that I was successful, and my success was not predicated on my family's success, it was predicated on my own success.
Yep.
And I really looked for an industry that I could go in and make as much money in that 1 year as I possibly could. And that's what I did. Is I went in, I got involved in rentals. I started doing brokerage, representing mostly tenants, and really, you know, pounded the pavement, learned the areas, learned the inventory. I made $175,000 my first year doing that.
Fantastic.
And, you know, after that, I was ready to go work for my father. I had a conversation with him. We discussed my compensation. He offered me $35,000. I tried to negotiate with him. We didn't get past, the numbers were still starting with a 3.
Yeah.
And I said, Dad, you know, I made $175,000. How am I going to go to making $35,000? And he said, listen, you got to start here. This is where you start. And, if you want to continue on the path that you're on, you know, I'll support you 100%. And, you know, I'll continue being your mentor and your someone to guide you.
Yeah.
And that's what he did. And he was always, you know, proud that I continued on this journey. He, you know, one of my bigger regrets in life is that I didn't get the opportunity to work, you know, side by side with my father. You know, we always discussed I would pick him up from work, from home, and drive him to work. So we had, you know, a very detailed plan that didn't happen.
Yeah.
But I speak to him every day. He's still my best friend. We're still my mentor, my coach.
Yeah.
I've always been somebody who's been able to learn a lot from, you know, what my father always calls is kind of learning how to shave on somebody else's beard. So,
yeah.
You know, it's not only the good stories, it's also the negative stories and, you know, negative things in business and things that have come up and, you know, how to prevent them and, you know, just always looking for ways to diversify and make sure that, you know, you're not, you know, you don't have all your eggs in one basket.
Yeah. And Andre, you know, when I listen to your story, because you never sold property before or did rentals, so you actually threw yourself into it. You know, in your first year to earn $175,000, which was a bit of a shock maybe to your father when he was offering you $35,000, it's unbelievable. So what made you push yourself to that limit, or what inspired you to do this?
So I guess, you know, sales is something that came easy to me. You know, work ethic is something that, you know, was instilled at an early age. And, you know, it was something that, you know, just came very easy to me. And it was the type of thing where, you know, I remember just thinking to myself, the harder you work, the more money you can make.
Yes.
And then, you know, we kind of fine tune certain things. And, you know, I remember my dad saying, you know, the more you work, the luckier you get. And, you know, I remember that as something that, you know, a lot of people in my office when I started, and I kind of resented it a little bit. They would tell me that I was lucky.
Yeah.
You know, beginner's luck or all these different things. And, you know, I remember having resentment and talking to my father about it, him saying to me, listen, like, let people tell you that you're lucky. This has nothing to do about luck.
No.
You're going to get lucky if you put yourself in the right position. You know, these people are working 40 hours a week. You're working 100 hours a week. You're going to get 2.5 times as lucky as them. So if they get lucky once, you're going to get lucky 3 times.
Yeah.
So it was really my dad pushing me behind me, you know, and I just enjoyed it. I wasn't a great student, so academics was not my specialty. So that was always something that just came very difficult to me. So this came very easy, and it was almost like a drug. It got like I didn't want to stop. Like yeah. It was, you know, I remember my father saying to me, like, you're going to burn out. Like, you got to slow down. But it was just at 100 miles per hour. And I wanted to prove that I could be successful. That was the mission, is to prove that I could be successful. So as soon as that was the case, I wanted to be the best in my office and the best in the company, and just had that drive.
Well, that's definitely a winner story. And, you know, the great Jack Nicklaus is that the more he practices, the luckier he gets. So the more you work, the luckier you became. It's nothing to do with luck. Nothing to do with luck. I agree with you. The people that say it's to do with luck is actually not putting a lot of effort in, because they don't get lucky. Moving on, Andre. So that was you as an individual selling or renting properties. And then I remember being in your office. It was above Citibank, I think. Is that correct?
Correct. Exactly. Yep.
And I walked in and there was all these people here. And I've just seen maybe a few years ago the new development you did within your office, all glass. And you had this cinema type place where you speak to your people, motivate them or whatever. So how did you start from you as an individual and then say, look, I'm going to build something here. I'm going to have people working with me. So how did that happen?
So I guess, you know, it evolved and changed over time. You know, I started in business, and, you know, like I mentioned, I represented tenants and you know, renters and buyers to start my career. And it slowly evolved into getting more on the owner, you know, on the property side, representing owners, developers, you know, working from inception of projects.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it definitely evolved over the years. I mean, our business model was very similar to the company that I originally started at, where we were opening up brokerage offices all around the city, and that was kind of our plan. And it changed in, I would say, 2010-11. And what happened was a lot of these, you know, I had competitors that came into the market space and they just destroyed the business. They offered, you know, splits that were, you know, that you couldn't make money at. The profit margins were, you know, basically minimal. And then you started having companies that got into the space that you know, didn't need to make money, that were, you know, venture-backed, and they were all about growing and expanding and not making money. So all of a sudden you're competing as a you know, individual owner with companies that are trying to show, you know, multiples and how many times they can grow. And it just became impossible to make money on that side. So we made a conscious decision as a company to really shift to representing owners. And that's basically what we've evolved to over the last 10, 12 years, is we only now represent properties exclusively. We represent both condos and rentals, existing multifamily and new construction, and we work on the ownership side. So it's just more of a feasible business. The agents are all working on properties that we currently have. So the model has changed and evolved, but it's more controllable. Where before it was more a brokerage business, now we're more in the service industry, specializing in working with owners.
Okay. Well, you've changed, I think, for the better as well. How many people would be in your company at the moment, Andre? Many people?
We have 125.
Those numbers, one day before I hit 100, I might reach that. That's a lot of people. I do remember being in your office as well, and what I've seen is what actually is happening to me now, believe it or not. There's a lot of young people around me at the moment, and you had a lot of young people around you as well. And I feel as the CEO of my company that young people make a difference. They bring a new idea to the table. They do things which, you know, I cannot do. You mentioned college there and going to school. I think I am the same as you. I didn't like college. I didn't even go to college. I just went to normal school. I hated it. And I couldn't wait to get out of doing it. But I remember my mum, who was a big inspiration to me, Andre, in my life, said to me, "Drew, you know, I think you should be speaking to people about doing something or selling something." So she told me from an early age, you know, "I think you can talk to people and you can listen, they'll listen to you." So I think she gave me my first step on the ladder to go out and go into financial services, because that's what my position was to 52. So I've started this journey in property about 20 years ago. And the franchise is about 5.5-6 years. We don't have 120-something people. We have 20-odd people. But the concept is very, very similar, because people who enjoy what they do, I know you have a passion. It's not all about money with me, and it's not all about money with you. Yes, what you said about the person coming into the market that destroyed it. My dad used to say to me, "You can be a busy fool." That means working all the time and earning nothing. So you've taken that on board, which is a great decision. But, you know, your company, you talk about having developers, you're working with developers, but am I right in saying you've now became a developer as well?
So we're advising developers, and we get involved where we'll invest in certain projects. But we're not the primary developer. We'll get involved in, you know, on a more of a limited exposure.
Right. Okay.
You know, our primary business is really on the brokerage side. But over the years, we've invested in properties and we've started to buy our own properties. But, you know, we're very conscious about not doing our own developments where we're competing with our clients, because, of course, our properties would always sell better than theirs. So,
yeah.
It's funny, you know, everything going on with COVID now. One of my clients recently asked, you know, what happens with all your properties? I said, "Oh, it's funny you ask. All my properties are doing really well. They're all renting really strong or increasing rents. And they were like, are you serious? No, of course I'm joking. Every one of them is suffering now. So including mine.
Yeah.
So, you know, we don't have an answer only for our properties. It's a difficult time right now on the rental side.
Yeah. Well, just on that COVID-19, you know, you may or may not know, we just opened our first office 2 weeks before lockdown, which was March. Well, I'm in the office now, and there might be more lockdown, I'm not sure. So how do you keep yourself, number one, busy, your attitude to be correct, keeping everything going, knowing that this is happening? Because I think New York at the moment is quite serious at the minute with the virus. So what are you doing now to keep your company growing and to keep your company going? Can you give any of us any advice on that there? Any you know, what do you do?
Yeah, so, you know, a lot of you know, me personally, you know, a lot of it was a learning experience. You know, we've never dealt with anything like this. So, you know, a lot of, you know, March, you know, 50% of March and you know, call it April was about, you know, learning how to survive. Learning how to, you know, cut costs, learning how to survive remotely, be able to keep things going. You know, transactions weren't happening for us, so that's really a big part of it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, a lot of it was really just kind of learning curve, how to show apartments without people showing them. So having contactless showings and you know, working remotely and not from in the office. And then kind of May and June came along and we started opening up, started, you know, doing transactions. People started, we started having more movement in the market. And we started taking on a lot of new business. You know, for us, you know, I kind of divided my time and worked very closely with my business coach in being structured in a way that I wasn't committing 100% of my time to any one thing. Mm-hmm. And part of my time was focused on getting new business. And we went out and secured some of the biggest real estate, you know, accounts with the largest families in New York that we're now working for. And, you know, we had solutions during a time that it was very difficult for people to get traction. And we invested a lot of time and resources into being the best in the marketplace in terms of displaying properties and getting people access to properties. Mm-hmm. And in a safe environment. And, you know, we continue to, you know, move forward. Yeah. During this, it definitely hasn't been an easy time. I don't think we're out of the in the clear yet.
No,
but it's definitely been an interesting time.
Yeah, because they say to me, I mean, I do a little bit of reading at different people over the years, and they say if you want to be an entrepreneur, you have to be able to control stress. And I think the stress factor would be kind of high at the moment with us all, me included. So nothing in business runs in a straight line. And I know that, you know that. So if you were to give a little bit of, you know, let's say call it advice to a young entrepreneur who is sitting here today saying, look, I know it's that COVID thing's here, but I'm going to try and rise above it. What would be the piece of advice you'd give to an entrepreneur, somebody who's got an idea, somebody who wants to start something? What lines would you say to him? Well, you need to realize this before you start to do anything. What would be your advice to them?
I mean, the advice is what the advice that I was given, which is if you look at back in history, this is, you know, when people make most of their money is during times like this, when, you know, in real estate, it's, you know, you buy when other people don't want to buy. And that's, you know, when you make most of your money. And I've spoken to people who are worth billions of dollars who've told me that, you know, they never knew, you know, it was, you know, a certain period of time that they made all their wealth. And then they spent, you know, the other, you know, 90% of their career working.
Yeah.
So when I hear stories like that, it motivates me because, you know, we don't have a crystal ball. We don't know when that 5-year window is going to be. You have to be pushing as hard at all times in order to be successful. You know, I don't know when my 5 years is going to come. Is it, yeah. Has it passed? Is it coming? Is it, am I in it? So, you know, I just always remember kind of, you know, some of the things like my dad always tells me, you know, enjoy the moment, you know, live in the moment. You know, don't be, you know, be excited for the journey. Don't be excited when you get there. And, you know, those are all things I really believe in. It's not, you know, I'm going to be happy when I get this or I get to this level. That's not going to bring happiness because at that point we might not have health. So that's there's right. so many other things. So, you know, he's always just told me to live in the moment. It's not going to get any better than today and enjoy it.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's really finding that balance. And, you know, I think over the last 6 months, it's obviously been it's been a challenge, you know, spending so much time with family and, you know, not in the office and, you know, especially now with things opening up and all the distractions out in life, I found it a lot easier during, you know, April and May when things were closed than now where it's a little bit more open and more distractions.
Yeah.
So it's definitely, you know, I think for sure, you know, just, you know, committing 100%, being 100% focused, and you know, you don't know when that time is going to be, so you might as well, you know, push 100% all the time.
Yeah. Well, you know, you've given me a little bit of advice there because we're trying to do very similar things. You know, we sell property in Europe, and I tell every partner that's on board with us, now's the time to build up your pipeline. You're not going to get anyone in a plane to see a property. Yes, we can do virtual tours that we do, but at the end of the day, the person has to go out to see the property. What we do is as a company. So it's a matter of getting people to, I mean, we're more likely spending more money now in marketing and getting the message out. I mean, even speaking to you, I never thought at the age of 70 plus, I would be doing a podcast. But I think the one lesson I've learned, Andre, if it helps you, you have to change. And if you don't change, you stay where you are. You have to go with the flow. And the other thing you said, which I really liked, was that you have to enjoy the moment. You don't wait till it all happens. As you're going in life, you enjoy every day as good as it's going to get. So it's the business, Andrew Barakas. Now, tell me a little bit more about the personal Andrew Barakas. So what do you enjoy doing out of business, first of all?
So I have three daughters. They are the loves of my life, and we spend a ton of time with them. We are very, very close. And, you know, I think over, you know, and I've spoken to quite a few people about it. I think, you know, we're fortunate, you know, to have spent the quality time that we have during the last 6 months together. And, you know, it's really the most important thing, the best thing I have, and, you know, something that I enjoy more than anything.
Yeah.
So that's definitely first and foremost. In terms of like passions, what I'm passionate about is I'm definitely big skier. That's something that I'm very passionate about.
Right.
And I try to ski 50 days a year. So that's something I'm pretty committed to and looking forward to doing more than 50 days this year, God willing. Everything stays open and I can do that. So, you know, I'm already starting to train for ski season. So I do take it very serious.
Definitely.
you know, that's something that I'm very passionate about. And then I would just say kind of going back to family, I spend a ton of time with my father. He is sick. So we spend, you know, more time together than we probably would if he wasn't sick. So I'm grateful for the time that we do get together. You know, I try to speak to him as much as I possibly can because he won't be here forever.
You know, the thing I realize about you, Andrew, and I do think this is why we have got a connection way back in 2006 or 2007, you're very family oriented and you talk about your dad. I mean, out of everything you've spoke on, it's always been about family, children. And, you know, at the end of the day, in my belief, in my word, your family's everything. And I think that's a big part of total success, not just the money and the properties and the rentals. It's having total success. When you come home at night, you know you've worked hard, you did a good day, but you're doing it for reasons, and you're doing it for the right reason. I think that's how people really, who want to start a career in anything, they need to get the reason, the right reason, why they're doing it, and who they're doing it for. And success, you know, Andrew, is not about you being successful or me. It's sharing the success with other people. And that's what you're very, very good at. And I know you are. I mean, I remember speaking to Carl. You met my wife, Darren. You mentioned Darren originally there. We went to see Darren playing in Carnegie Hall with Madeline Peru, and you enjoyed that evening. And Carl, I remember coming back, and Carl says to me, he's just like somebody from Northern Ireland, isn't he, Drew? He's like a son. So you became my son. And you said at the start of the podcast, I think that's the relationship we all have with people, that you care more about them than you do about anything else, because that's really what matters. So I'm going to stop talking now, and I want to ask you a final couple of questions. Number one, if I was to meet somebody in New York and say, tell me, do you know Andrew Baracus? And they say, yes, I do. Well, what I want you to tell me, Andreas, what would be the one word that would they would say describes you? What, just one word, not two, just one word, Andrew Baracus.
Personally or business?
Personally.
Personally, I think they would say...
it's a hard one.
It's a good question.
I've stumped you, Mr. Baracus.
One word. You know, I think on the business side, they would talk about obviously the company, and I would say that they would associate it with, you know, something with Brooklyn. We do quite a bit of business in Brooklyn, so you know, people recognize us with Brooklyn. You know, they would talk about us being one of the bigger brokerage companies in New York City. One word's hard. On the personal side, I think they would say my personality. I think it's something that I've spoken about with my father quite a bit. And, you know, he's always told me that, you know, that's your gift is your personality. So it's something that it's not, you know, something that I haven't focused on. It's something that I'm conscious about and know that is my strength. So I think people would, you know, recognize that, you know, I'm very caring, genuine. Mm-hmm. Yeah. One word, very hard.
Okay, I agree with you. And you know, that personality you've got, you have that. You don't need to work on that. You've just got that. That's a God-given thing, you know. You're just one of those people that's just got that. You don't be trained to do it. You can't be taught to do it. You've just got that. And that's why people actually like you, buy into you. And that's why I believe this 120 odd people have joined your company, because you have something to give back to them. And that's a big part of it. Andrew, it's been great talking to you. You live now in the Hamptons, is that correct? That's where you live?
No. I'm here in Brooklyn. I'm here in the office.
Oh, you're in the office.
We still got all the glass.
Oh, right. Very good. Oh, very good indeed. That's the big, yeah. Okay. But that's
so, I live just outside the city. I'm in Westchester, in a town called Scarsdale.
Scarsdale.
And I'm here in Brooklyn in the office, and I'll be running around all over Manhattan, Brooklyn today. Right. I want to see some new properties.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you giving me time, because I know you're a very, very busy man. And what I will tell you, once we get aircraft planes in the sky and I go to New York, I will be coming to your offices in Brooklyn. So
doors are always welcome.
I know that.
Always open for you.
You're looking well, and I appreciate your time, and many, many success. And your partner, your wife, and your three children, and your father. Say hello to
them. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Please send my love to everyone.
I will indeed. God bless, Andrew. Thank you very much. Bye-bye. Bye.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the podcast with Andrew Barakas. When speaking to Andrew, I feel so motivated. He's only a 40-odd-year-old person, and he's did so much in his time, but he's actually a gentleman. And he helps people who are coming into the business who know nothing, and he teaches them what to do. He's a real teacher at a very young age and a very successful man. But more than that, he's a friend, and he's a very much a family man. So I hope you enjoyed as much as I have got out of this podcast, and I'll see you soon. Can you see it?